11th chapter of the book of Acts, verse 26. Verse that you're familiar with. That the disciples were called Christians. First at Antioch. Let's suppose you're talking to a co-worker, a friend, a family member, just somebody that you know, acquaintance. And you ask the question, are you a Christian? What kind of answer can you expect? Here are some suggestions that you might hear. Yes, I'm a Baptist, or a Methodist, or a Presbyterian. Yes, I believe a Christian is someone you can trust, and you can trust me. I go to church, so I suppose that I'm a Christian. Yes, I'm a Christian. I was baptized a long time ago. I live in America. America's a Christian nation, so I would be qualified to be called a Christian. Am I a Christian? Yes, I treat my neighbor fairly. I pay my taxes. I take care of my family. That's what a Christian does, isn't it? So yes, I'm a Christian. Someone might say, well, I hope so. Most of the time I am. And occasionally someone may just say no, or I don't know. What do you do if somebody responds that way? You could just say, have a good day. Okay. See you later. Let's talk about the Astros or football. But we just sang a song. Walking in the steps of the Savior. If that opportunity was presented to Jesus, and he knew someone had a misconception, that granted them some kind of security, what would he do? Would he just let it go? Or would he use that opportunity to try to challenge their thinking as to what a Christian really is? If you've studied the life of Jesus Christ, as most in this audience have, you know the answer to that. Whether it's at a supper meal, whether he's out in public healing people, whether he's in a room with his disciples, he utilized opportunities that presented himself to try to correct people's understanding when it had to do with their salvation and their relationship to God. It wasn't always popular or well received, but that should not be the criteria of doing what our Savior did, but rather, as we sang, of walking in his steps. Let's consider some things that we might hear and people might think that we can possibly help their understanding with. For example, someone says, yes, I'm a Christian because I don't live in sin. I quit living in sin. I try to live a holy and a moral life. And they may be telling the truth. There are neighbors that you have that you wouldn't have to worry about them stealing one thing out of your house or your garage. You could give them your checkbook and you would never be afraid that they would misuse it. They're just good, honest, moral people. And if you get in need, they may be the first to come help you. But does that make them a Christian? In the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, I read about a man. His name was Cornelius. And Luke, guided by the Holy Spirit, gave us a description of this man's character and life, so I know it's an accurate description. It says he was a devout man. He was one who feared God. He gave many alms to the Jewish people, and he prayed to God continually. So if abstaining from sin and having a sense of faith in God in some sense and devotion, engaging in prayer makes him a Christian, this man was a Christian. However, in the 11th chapter, and in the 14th verse, God selected a man to go talk to this fella. And this man went because Cornelius had seen a vision, and an angel told him to send for him. He told him what he would do when he got there. And it says in verse 14, he will speak words to you by which you will be saved. I don't know what Cornelius thought about that. Good man, moral man, praying man, cares about other people. Somebody's going to come talk to me about how to be saved? You mean I'm lost? If a man's a Christian, truly a Christian, is he saved or is he lost? Pretty obvious this man was not a Christian. In chapter 10, verse 43, in fact, chapter 10 records Peter getting there and preaching to this man about Jesus. And then in verse 43, he said, of Jesus, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Cornelius couldn't believe in him. He didn't know the gospel of Jesus Christ. It seems Peter was sent to preach it to him. And now he is instructed that he must believe that gospel to have his sins forgiven. In verse 47, Peter said, who can refuse water for these to be baptized? If water baptism is essential to being a Christian, one thing is clear, Cornelius, as good a man as he was not a Christian. And so, if you stand ready to try to use opportunities, this may be something that you could remember, make a note about, and ask someone about, was Cornelius a Christian? He was everything you say you are, but he had not been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 7. One might say, well, I listen to God's Word. I read God's Word. I have a Bible. I cherish my Bible. And maybe they can quote scriptures. And I wouldn't deny that maybe they are maybe a daily Bible reader. But does that make them a Christian? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, Jesus said, Jesus. Now, so we're talking about a follower of Christ. So here's what Jesus said. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man. Verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be compared to a foolish man. He built his house on the sand and you'll remember it fell. In other words, his hopes will be dashed. What about a Christian? Does a Christian have solid hope or vain hope? Jesus says a man that reads the Bible, maybe he can quote verses, but if he's not acting on what the Bible says, is he a follower of Christ? A Christian? That's what Christian means, a follower of Christ. John chapter 8. Jesus here on this particular occasion was talking to people, and he made this statement. John chapter 8, verse 24. These are religious people, proud of their religion, dedicated people. But he said, you will die in your sins. For except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Maybe this person is an advocate, a sincere devotee of Allah, the Muslim God, and may say they believe that there was a man named Jesus Christ. They may not claim to be a Christian, but they may think they're in God's good graces. Jesus said he would tell that man, you will die in your sins. A person may say, I believe in God, but I don't know about Jesus Christ. I don't know if he was truly a prophet of God and died on the cross and rose the third day. That he was an eternal being. Jesus said, and would tell that man, you will die in your sins. Is he a Christian? So just hearing the Word of God and believing something about Jesus doesn't make him a Christian. In fact, over in John chapter 12 and verse 42 and 43, here are some people that it said the rulers believed in him. I don't know how much they believed. They must have had enough evidence to convince them that he was maybe the Messiah. It says they believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him. For fear that they'd be put out of the synagogue, they loved the approval of man rather than the approval of God. So, a person says, yes, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus Christ. But maybe they're ashamed on the job to say so and to act like it. Are they a Christian? Maybe in their family gatherings, they're ashamed to say so because they might be ridiculed for what being a Christian prevents them from doing. Here are people who refuse to confess their faith. I know what Jesus said about people like that in Mark chapter 8. Look in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. Jesus said that if you come to him, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. That if you save your life, you'll lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And then he said, verse 38, whoever is ashamed of me, but wait, there's one more little phrase there, and of my words, in this just adulterous and sinful generation, it would be easy to find circumstances where you might be ashamed to say, I believe what Jesus said about immorality, about fornication, about adultery, about drinking, about whatever. But I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. He said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, when the Son of Man comes, he'll be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father. Is that person a Christian? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Someone may say vehemently, I believe in Jesus Christ. I love the Lord. They may wear something on their coat or something. I see people wearing crosses hanging from their ears or necklaces with crosses on them. I'm proud to be a Christian. Did I make them one? Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord. You know how you can say, Lord, Lord, without saying a word? Emblaze it on your clothes. Put it on your T-shirt. Hang it from your ear. In other words, I want you to know I'm a believer in Jesus. Lord, Lord is simply emphasizing the term. That's the idea. But he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now these people went on to talk about all the wonderful things they'd done and claimed they did it in his name. But he said, I'll declare to them, verse 23, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me. You thought you were my follower, but we were never in relationship. Are you a Christian? You might ask somebody that. Do they actually follow the New Testament, teach the New Testament? Why do they do the things they do in their religion? Here are people who are not doing the things that were authorized. They practice lawlessness under the banner of religion. Jesus said, I never knew you. So loud and firm declarations of being a Christian certainly does not make one a Christian. Person may say, I've got Christian parents. They are dedicated. They've taught me the Bible since I was a child. I go to church. They bring me to church all the time. Surely, I could be called a Christian. I could have at least the blessings of being a Christian. Well, let's see how that works then. You go to school with somebody whose parents are infidels. They never go to church. They don't believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So does that make your schoolmate an infidel? Who your parents are doesn't make you that, whether it's a Christian or an infidel. That's not how you determine, are you a Christian? By your culture, your upbringing. You're familiar with Acts chapter 16 and verse 30? The Philippian jailer. You remember he brought Paul and Silas out of prison? He knew he was lost. He said, what shall I do? It wasn't a question about anybody else. It wasn't a question about what his parents believed. It wasn't a question about what his officers, his superiors believed and did. What shall I do? Are you a Christian? It depends on what you have or haven't done. In Acts chapter 19. Now then, you may meet somebody like this. Yes, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. You might ask them the question, well, have you been baptized? And they may say, yes. Yes, I have been baptized. So I believe in Christ and I have been baptized. I am a Christian. Well, maybe. In Acts the 19th chapter, Paul came to Ephesus. And when he got there, he found some disciples, it says in verse 1. And based on the context, this would be disciples of Christ, learners, followers of Christ in some sense. The previous chapter indicates that. Found some disciples. And he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So at least Paul took it to mean they were following Christ. But now he wanted to impart the spiritual gift to them, which he had the power to do as an apostle. But lo and behold, they made a statement that made him question why they were baptized. They said, we do not know if there is a Holy Spirit, or depending on your version, or whether the Holy Spirit has been given. He said, well, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. Did they believe in Jesus? He did not question it. Were they baptized? They were. But their baptism was not in the name of Christ, by the authority of Christ, in accordance with the teaching of Christ. And so the text says that he told them they had to believe in him who was coming after them, that is in Jesus, and when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know what a state their learning was about Jesus, but it was faulty. The point is, just because a person says, I believe in Jesus and I have been baptized, in and of itself does not make them a Christian. And so sometimes it's good to talk further with someone about that. And as you well know, if you've been a Christian very long and a member of this church very long, we have re-baptized people who for years thought they were a Christian. But after contemplating what they did and when they did it, had serious questions about it, and were baptized again, this time in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you a Christian? Somebody may say, yes, I'm a Christian, and yes, I know what you're going to ask me, whether or not I was baptized for remission of sins. Yes, I was baptized for remission of sins. And yes, you're going to ask me if I go to church. Yes, I go to church. And do you read the Bible? I do. And I sing. I am a follower of Christ. In Luke chapter 14, I don't know what all these people believed. But I do know it says in verse 25, they were going along with him. When you use the word Christian, it means a follower of Christ. There's a sense in which these people were following Christ. If you had to walk out in the open and follow Christ with a big crowd, would you do that? These people were. I don't know how far they followed him. I don't know what the weather was like, but they were following Christ. What would you do? I guess a lot would just be saying, I'm so glad to see y'all following Christ. But Jesus is, remember, we said we're going to walk in His steps. That's what we're saying. So Jesus turns around and He tells these people, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be My disciple. Might I say, now Jesus, that's going to run people off. That's going to hurt people's feelings. And it probably did. But He's more interested in their salvation than their favor. And He said, I've got to be number one in your life. Over your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your sons, your daughters, all of the goals and careers of life you may have. And if not, you cannot be My disciple. Can I rephrase that? You cannot be a Christian. You cannot. In verse 33, none of you can be My disciple who does not give up all his possessions. If what we own, our jobs, or whatever it may be, comes before Christ, we're not a Christian. I think about this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Here's a man. I don't know the man other than what I read right here in chapter 5. I don't have any doubt that this man at one time or another obeyed the gospel of Christ. He's a member of the Corinthian church. So I have no doubt that he professed a faith in Christ, baptized maybe for the remission of sins in the past. I don't know. But he's a member of this congregation. There's no questioning his original obedience to the gospel in the text. I know he's a man that evidently goes to church, goes to the Corinthian church. And he's a man that's known there. But as you read chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, you see that he's living in sin. He has his father's wife. So, what have they done about it? Nothing. Why have they done nothing about it? I can't answer that question. If this church was like a lot of churches today, like this one, and most churches, a number of the people in that church were interrelated. Brother, sister, son, daughter, father, mother, some way, cousin, uncle. Maybe that was the case here, I don't know. If not that, friends. Just people you like to be with, eat with, do things with. Whatever the reason was, they were not willing to sever their relationship with that man. If you're familiar with chapter 5, that's what he told them to do, verse 11. Don't associate with him. And Paul said you ought to be ashamed for not having done it. But it might hurt his feelings, it may. It might make his friends mad. It may. But if you're a Christian, and here's a guy who professes to be a Christian, but he's living in open sin, whether it's your mother, your father, you're gone from home, so you're not dependent on living at home. You're gone. A brother or sister, y'all live at different homes, different places. He said, do not associate with him. Can I be a Christian and continue to associate with someone living in sin who has claimed to be a Christian? So, I tell you what, let's do. We've looked at various scenarios where these statements that people make and the thinking does not qualify a person to be a Christian. You know that the word Christian occurs three times in your New Testament. Three times. So let's look at the three times and see if we can learn anything from those. Here's the first one. Where we started our lesson today, Acts 11, 26. And so what do we learn about this particular text? It says they were called Christians. How did they get to be Christians? That will give us some insight. So, let's go back up to verse 19. So, you have in connection with the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen, disciples made their way to Antioch. What do they do when they get to Antioch? That's the city we're reading about where these people are called Christians. Those people that went there were speaking the word. And then it says in verse 20, some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, came to Antioch and began speaking, preaching the Lord Jesus. So they were actively teaching people the truth about Jesus, presenting the evidence that he was indeed the Messiah and the Son of God. Now, that precedes verse 26. Whatever they were in verse 26 was caused by not some inexplainable experience, not their culture, not their lineage, not a better felt and told experience, but hearing the gospel, being taught in a rational way. That's what makes a person a Christian according to this text. And if a person became a quote-unquote Christian in some other way, they're not a Christian, not according to this verse. I got up to be a certain age. I know I need to be baptized. That what makes you a Christian? No. It's through the teaching and hearing and understanding and believing the Word of God. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, you're familiar with this verse. Peter had preached this sermon about Jesus being the Son of God to people who did not believe he was the Son of God. Verse 41 says, those who received his word were baptized. They heard what Peter said, and it convinced them. That's why they were baptized. If a person's not a Christian because he was convinced of the truth about who Jesus is, he's not a Christian the way the Bible defines it. Over in Acts chapter 8, you have Philip. He goes to Samaria. What happens in Samaria? In verse 12, it says, people were being baptized, men and women alike, verse 12. What caused it? Verse 5 is the answer. He was proclaiming Christ to them. Verse 12 says, when they believed Philip preaching the good news. So Philip went there to teach, not to build a hospital, not to build a school, make people better, and then we can slip them into the group we call Christians. No, no, no. I'm going to teach. I'm going to preach about Jesus. And those who believed what he preached were baptized upon their faith. That's what made these people Christians. Just like the people in Acts chapter 11. A little later on in the chapter, there's an Ethiopian riding along in his chariot. He's reading about the Messiah over in the book of Isaiah. Philip gets up in the chariot with him, and what does he do? You remember what he did. You know, if you used to ask this fellow if you're a Christian, he probably would have said, what are you talking about? What do you mean by that? But you see in Acts chapter 8, verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and beginning from the scripture. That's a good place to begin. You want to talk to somebody, say, let's get our Bibles out. Let's read together. That's what happened in Acts 11. They didn't have the printed word, but they had men speaking that word that caused those Christians in Antioch. Here we see Philip began from Isaiah. That's where the guy's reading. Preached Jesus to him. And the man said, look, here's some water. What hindered me from being baptized? He said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he baptized him. You can see that the Christians that we're reading about in this first occurrence are people who were Christians because of what they had heard about Christ, not because of culture, experiences, feelings, etc. Question, were they baptized? There's nothing in Acts 11 about them being baptized. But when people in these other cases that we mentioned, when these people heard about Jesus, what did it cause them to do? It caused them to want to be baptized. Well, then Acts 11, wouldn't that be the same result? If those people were preaching the same gospel that Peter preached in Acts 2, if that Philip taught the Ethiopian in Acts 8, would not the result be the same? Would they not be taught to do the same thing? And so the cause in Acts 11 is the preaching of the gospel. Here's what it causes people to do. Here's what I do know. We already looked at Acts chapter 19, 1 through 5. Paul, you remember, went to Ephesus. He found some disciples. He said, you need to be baptized again. Paul is the one in Acts chapter 11 that went down there to Antioch to teach these brethren who had heard the gospel. If he got there and found out that these devoted people who believed in Jesus had not been baptized, what would he have told them they needed to do? I know what he would have told them because of Acts 19. He found disciples in Ephesus and he baptized them again after teaching the truth about Jesus. It's interesting when you read Acts 11, verse 26. They were called Christians in Antioch. We've been talking about what it takes to become one, but when we ask, are you a Christian, what happens after that? Well, what happened after that in this case? One of the things you read about in verse 26 is they met regularly with the disciples. Paul and Barnabas went to Antioch. They met with the church and taught considerable numbers. These people were regularly meeting together for Bible study, worship. I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. Well, that's not the Christians like I'm reading about in Acts 11. There's more. In verse 29 and 30, when they found about other Christians in another area who had needs, it says they all determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren. And they did. They were willing to give to help other Christians. So I see that Christians that I'm reading about in Acts 11, the first occurrence, were people who believed the gospel. And if the process was the same as in Acts 2 and Acts 8, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they met regularly in a local congregation and had a bond with others who believed in Jesus Christ, so much so they were willing to sacrifice their own goods to help them. Well, here's the second occurrence. Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. Now, in this particular case, you remember Paul was on trial before King Agrippa. And Agrippa saw where he was going with his discussion. You know, we talked about Jesus using occasions. And so Paul's on trial. What are you going to do if you're on trial? Say, I'm going to defend myself. Paul said, I'm going to defend Jesus. Not those words, but that's what he did. I'm going to use this occasion to try to reach this king. Agrippa saw where he's headed. And in verse 28, he replied to Paul, and depends on what tone you give to this as to what it means. What was his attitude? You can read it this way. In a short time, you'll persuade me to be a Christian. And so we got a song in our book, Almost Persuaded. Good song. Was Agrippa almost persuaded? I doubt it. Here's why I doubt it. If that's the case, Paul would immediately just kept right on preaching and tried to convince him, just like Peter did in Acts 2, with many other words he testified and exhorted. Rather, I think, I'm not dogmatic about it, I rather think what he said was, in a short time, you're going to persuade me to be a Christian? In other words, what's wrong with you, guy? Paul said, yes, I wish to God, whether in a short or a long time, not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become, now know this statement, such as I am. So how does this verse help us as to whether you're a Christian or not? Well, Paul says, that's what I am. Okay? So that's what he is. What did he do to become a Christian? He's talking to Agrippa. He's trying to convince others to be Christians. Well, I know what he did. And over in Acts chapter 9, when he was not a Christian, on his way persecute those who were Christians, he saw Jesus Christ risen from the dead. In chapter 9, verse 5, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting." Now he knows the Jesus he did not believe in is the risen Messiah. And so now he believes in Jesus. Jesus says, "You go to Damascus. There will be told you what you must do." And so he went to Damascus. Verse 19 says, immediately this guy got there and he told him to be baptized. Verse 18. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, he said, "Why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." Verse 18 of chapter 9 says he was baptized. And then it says he began, verse 20, to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying he's the Son of God. This man was a Christian. He said, "I want you to be like I am." He didn't believe in Jesus. He saw the risen Lord. He changed his will. Whatever Jesus would tell him, he would do. He was sorry for his past life. And when he was told to be baptized to wash away his sin, that's what he did. He said, "Agrippa, I want you to do what I did. I want you to be like I am." Here's a man that would try to persuade people to be Christians, and you can see the context and harmony as to what that entailed. Here's the third occurrence. It's 1 Peter 4 and verse 16. It's the third time that the word Christian is used in the Bible. So here Peter writes to people, "If anyone suffers as a Christian, he's not to be ashamed, but to glorify God in his name." So he's presuming in his letter, these people are Christians. Well, can I learn something more about them? I know from chapter 1 and in verse 3 that they believed in Jesus. He said he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So they believed in Jesus and believed that he had died for the sins of men and rose from the grave the third day. I know they believe that. These people he called Christians in chapter 4, verse 16. But there's more. In chapter 3 and in verse 21, he says, "Baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." You believe in the resurrected Lord. Now you were baptized to be saved based on what you believe. These people were baptized believers. So here's a case where the word Christian includes believing in Christ. It includes baptism for the forgiveness of sins, but there's more. If you read the letter, the whole letter is about the whether to live. In fact, if you look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, "As obedient children," he says you're to be holy as God is holy. Verse 16. So he talks about the holy life. It pertained to their relationship to their neighbor, to their government, to their mate, to their supervisor or employer. All phases of life. You may suffer for living that way. Thus our text. If anyone suffers as a Christian, doing the duties that you have to do towards your government, towards your neighbor, towards your mate, towards your employer or employee. If you suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but glorify God in this life. So, it involves a moral life that respects the duties we have based on the relationship we sustained in this world and one who is willing to suffer, if need be, for that belief. So, we started out with Acts 11:26. They were called Christians. You'd call me a Christian. That doesn't make me one. I may call you a Christian. That doesn't make you one. We don't have a prophet like Luke to say they were called Christians. That puts some validity in it. Sometimes called means that's what they were. So to answer that question, every one of us has to do our own self-examination. Have I responded to the kind of influences they responded to, the teaching of the Word of God, to turn my will toward Christ, bow at his knee, confess his name, and be buried in the waters of baptism. And since then, have I demonstrated my allegiance to him, the life that I have lived, assembling with the saints, striving to grow in understanding, being holy in all my conduct, serving my God day in and day out. Are you a Christian? You think about that as together we stand and as we sing.